This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome to the bow hunting podcast for the working class bow hunter podcast. See, clever. I did that once on a podcast already, so it's old news.
We did
We're here. Short staffed again. Myself, Kurt Geyer.
Doug Schmidt.
Austin Chandler.
The Lord.
Lord.
I have to say the Lord? Like, it's weird if you say it yourself, right?
Yeah, it just doesn't have the same effect if I say it. I think you need to say it.
It goes from like holy to arrogant.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
Real quick.
We don't want that.
Yeah, we don't want that.
That's not what we're about. welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast, where we're nothing but serious and business and no fun. No, thank you for being here. We appreciate the support. It's been a crazy fall for us, going into a crazy winter. Man, hopefully things are turning up. I don't know when this airs in podcast land. It's mid-December, but we got a good backstock of episodes built up for the holidays and just some, hopefully, trade shows happen. Nebraska is still a go. This is probably airing right in that time frame of the show. If it's before, we hope to see you there. If it's after, we hope we had a good time with you. either way, we appreciate the support. WorkingClassBowhunter.com. Of course, if you're listening, you know where to find us, but Spotify, anywhere, subscribe, give us a rating, share us up, help us out a little bit. We do have a Patreon. We have new merch in the store.
Got the Holla Holla shirt.
The Holla Holla shirt, the Geyer Bug.
Got the Geyer Bug shirt.
Yeah, we got some new merch coming. We're getting to the point where we're going to be having new merch like every 3 months and just cycling out the bottom tier merch and getting new stuff. So keep it fresh, keep it new, and it's kind of fun to make new designs and see our logo done up different ways and all that. So we appreciate all the support. And also our YouTube, we got some video podcasts coming down the line for 2021. So please subscribe to that and let us know you did. We appreciate it. And just real quick, I'm going to get through some of our partners. Appreciate them all supporting us. HHA Sports, Scent Crusher, Loophole Optics, Thermoseat, Victory Archery, Gator Outdoors, Big Time, and Old Barn Taxidermy. Super thankful for all of them. Everyone that supports us in any way.
Thank you.
And everybody supports us in, you know, different episodes. We'll have different people support that episode and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool, man, to have people on board that are as high profile as them with as low profile people as us.
Thanks for letting us represent you.
We got you. Hopefully we're doing okay.
Here for duty. Doug, you got a veteran shout out?
I do. This one's a pretty long one, but this was sent by Joe Wilcox, and the veteran is Dave Bolton. He was in the Army. It says Dave joined the U.S. Army in 1986, serving with the 197th Infantry Brigade and the 3rd Ranger Battalion at Fort Benning, Georgia. After a short break of service, he served with the 101st Airborne Division and LRSD unit. I don't know what that means. Sorry.
We're
at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. From there, he moved to the the 3502C Company to HHC 3052 Scout Platoon. After attending the Special Operation Target Indicate in
You're an engineer, Doug.
Introduction course. He was selected to become a sniper instructor for the 5th Special Forces Group.
Damn.
After a year, he returned to the Scout Platoon and was the sniper squad leader. He left the Army in 2001 and transitioned into the civilian life. He is currently employed by the Lancaster County Sheriff's Office as a canine handler for the past 19 years.
Wow.
I want to have a beer with this guy.
Yeah, he's dedicated his life to service of others. He's an avid hunter and bow hunter and lives to be in the outdoors. Thanks for your service, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
That's a record right there.
Thank you, sir.
Hopefully you're nice, because without knowing you, you got a scary background of just badass.
Yeah, that's just a legit badass right there.
1986 to 2001.
That's awesome. Thank you, man, for your service. That's hardcore. Thanks for all the details on that veteran shout-out, by the way.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, sorry if I messed anything up. I don't want to offend anybody. But
He's got a canine. Whew. Those things are scary, man.
Can you imagine?
Even if you were in the middle of some shit, and say you got caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, and then the cop gets out and he's got a canine, whatever you need, yep.
Yes, sir, no, sir.
I'll make you lunch real quick.
That's actually what my grandfather did in the military. He was in the Korean War, and he trained dogs.
No kidding.
Yep, pretty cool. Yep.
I just don't get, like, when they go after somebody, the dude's like, yeah, I'm going to outrun this dog.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't.
I'm going to outrun this four-legged beast.
Yeah, this killing machine. Yeah, I had German Shepherds growing up, and I don't know if they still use German Shepherds or if they're those Malinois or whatever now, but horrifying either way.
Oh, yeah.
But that's cool, man. That's a lot of respect to people that do that stuff. So thanks, Dave. Appreciate your service, Dave. Very cool. Well, awesome, man. Well, we're in the middle of it, the thick of it here. We've been trying to say it on this last podcast, getting down to the wire now. Hopefully you had a great season. I know a lot of us did. We're in the future now, Doug. In reality,
yeah. Hopefully everything went fantastically well.
Yeah,
and I got a 180 incher on the ground.
Because depending on when this launches, we might be off a little bit. Schedules. We're podcasting ahead here in the future, but basically when we leave for Nebraska, we'll all be done hunting.
Yep.
So because that's the last week in the season, pretty much. I believe.
Ours is the 10th. So.
Oh, yeah, you're well done then.
We're the weekend before.
We're the, I don't even know.
17th, I think.
Right in there, yeah.
It's whatever that Sunday is our last day. I think it's the 17th.
It's whenever it ends.
Well, what day is the show on? 15th?
15th, 16th, and 17th.
So 17th is Sunday, so that's the last day of our season.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, cool. We had a good season.
We did have a good season. I'm pulling for you,
Yeah,
Dougie.
We did.
I know.
yeah, see? The future.
Yeah.
Doug,
great fucking season.
You really pulled it together at the last minute, Doug.
Who knew I could have did it, but I did it.
I like this. Weird, right?
Yeah, the thing was a monster.
Yeah, dude. Awesome G2 on that one side.
Dude, what was that, 17 inches?
That drop time? Crazy.
Ooh. 18 inches?
18-inch drop time. Now we're
sorry.
That's just cocky.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Dude, it was great. It's a great four corner you shot, man.
I thought it was a deal.
Oops.
Mustache got in the way.
Yeah.
Whoopsie.
Hey, you know, call it whatever you want, man. I ain't judging. No, man, it's getting crazy out here. But we have a guest on. He is another member of Team Working Class from what Tim Stanscliff's dream whitetail hunt would be. In Michigan, which I was surprised he said that.
Yeah, you don't get that one as everybody's dream hunt. That was kind of different.
I guess he's trying to like baseline from PA to Michigan. You know what I mean?
He stick with what you know.
That's right. Yeah. Why go for quality when you can go for, I was going to say quantity, but I don't know if that's true either. We'll find out. We'll get into some Michigan stuff here, I guess. We're joking.
We're just dogging.
We're just dogging. Why would we not?
Got to get some shit out.
That's everyone's like, leave Ohio alone. I'm like, man, we've been getting shit on in Iowa and Illinois from everybody around the whole country
on Michigan and Pennsylvania a little bit.
Yeah, pinpoint the big buck states in the country.
There we go. But not here.
Not anymore. So Chris Smith, we're going to get him on, and we'll start shooting the shit. So thank you for being here. All right, calling from the number one big buck state in the country. You know what state I'm already talking about before I say it. Michigan. Our good buddy Chris Smith, member of Team Working Class, joins us. What's up, dude?
Hey, not much, man.
Glad that you could finally join the show and talk about how many big bucks you guys have and how everybody should buy non-resident Michigan tags.
Yeah, I mean, they're super cheap. Might as well bring the family.
Bring your Blaze Orange, bring the family.
Yeah.
What's up, man? Tell us who you are.
Hey, not much. So my name is Chris Smith. I actually sell hunting land for a living with Michigan Whitetail Properties, number one recreational land dealer here in Michigan. I'm a carpenter by trade. My father-in-law actually started the business 20-some years ago. He found his niche, I guess you could say. He was a realtor selling houses and decided he didn't want to fight over refrigerators. So he decided land is his thing. He got his niche, and there Michigan Whitetail Properties was born. So that's what I do. I sell hunt land, walk all kinds of good properties, bad properties, all of them.
Sounds like a fun job.
Yeah, that is a cool job. And you know what's thinking about that, and we'll kind of go back into our history. On my way home from elk hunting in Colorado, we ran into a guy that worked for the same company. And I don't even know how it came about, but in the quick gas station conversation we had, we basically put two and two together that we both knew you.
Really?
Remember that?
Was it Davis?
I don't remember his name. It was like 2 years ago, so I'm reaching here.
I guess it could have been Heath Sutherland. He's one of our agents here in Michigan as well.
I don't remember, but I don't know how we kind of cued that in. We were both on our way home from elk hunting, and I think he saw the sticker and was just like, "Oh, do you do that or whatever?" And then got the chatting, and we somehow figured out we both knew you. Small world. But yeah. I kind of like it slipped my mind that you're doing the Michigan Whitetail Properties thing. You know, it's because we met. You lived in Iowa for a little bit. Let's just get into all of that. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here.
Yeah, right. So my wife and I actually moved to the Quad Cities so she could go to Palmer there in Davenport for a chiropractic school.
Yeah.
And that's basically how it started. I quit my job here and just went.
That's ballsy, man.
I spent the first 2 weeks knocking on doors to try to find some hunting land.
Yeah, you're probably like making Play-Doh snacks. I'm in Iowa now, baby. Let's do this. Yeah.
Didn't pan out how everyone thinks it pans out.
Well, you also lived in Davenport.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true.
Tough gig. And so you quit your job at the time to move so your wife could go to school. So you're kind of like, you're putting investments in to have a sugar mama.
Right. Except it doesn't work that way either for some reason.
well,
damn.
Just striking out, man. Well,
sorry,
dude. I think this is Michigan's getting you a little bitter. What's the deal?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
But that's where we met because you worked at Gander Mountain, and I was a drunk college kid at the time, too, and I worked at Gander Mountain for a little bit.
Right.
I was awfully rambunctious at the time, I felt like, compared to now, but that's where we met.
Things change, you know.
A little out
there. We did. And then we did some hunting together. On the same video series that we did, and that's basically how it was born.
Yeah, it's kind of funny looking back now, but I mean, hell, I think you did some bow work for us in your apartment. You had remember that?
Did,
you had like your whole bow press and everything.
Yep.
It's pretty cool, man. So, and then I remember you're like, "Yep, we're going back," and you kicked back to Michigan.
Kicked back to this place.
Are you bitter about Michigan? I feel like you might be a little bitter.
No, season's about over, and it's just one of those years.
Yeah. What's it like, you know, because you grew up in Michigan, right?
I did, yep.
So growing up in Michigan, kind of, I mean, you're not ignorant to hunting. I mean, you've hunted other states and everything, right?
Yeah, correct. Yep, I've hunted, you know, some other states. You know, Kansas is a big one. I love going to Kansas, but, you know, I've hunted Ohio, Iowa. Basically, the ones you think.
Right. The big buck states, for the most part. So, you hunt all these states. You have all this experience. You know what big bucks are. You know how to kill big bucks. But you're – and I'm not saying Michigan doesn't have big bucks, because percentage-wise. But you grew up there. You hunt there most of the time, and then you sell ground there. So, do you find it difficult to sell ground in Michigan, knowing what you know? Or is it like a hard sell? You see what I'm getting at?
You know, it's not really a hard sell. You know, most of the people are like us that are buying it. They, you know, they want to hunt. You know, not all of them. Some of them just want a place to build home or hang out with their family. But the majority, I would say, are looking for that piece of land to call their own to shoot bucks on.
Right. In your area, what's a good trophy-sized deer?
in our area.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, like, on our family farm, 140 is minimum that we'll shoot there.
Oh, wow.
See, that's, you're in the mix.
That's, yeah, that's right where we're at.
But, you know, this year if I'd have saw 110, I might have shot it.
No kidding.
One of them years, huh?
But, you know, there's definitely, especially where I'm at down here in the southern, the lower part of Michigan, there's a handful of counties that always produce big bucks. So, you know, it's just picking which one you want to be in.
Right, right. So selling ground, I mean, what's the biggest track people are usually buying through you?
We sell, you know, it's hard to say. A lot of, you know, some people are everyday Joes like us that, you know, can't afford a 300-acre piece of land. And, you know, there's those other guys that, you know, money's no issue. We sell it all, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. So do you, when you do a listing, sorry, I'm kind of going down this rabbit hole now because it's interesting. Yeah. do you get access to the property? Like, can you do any hunting or run trail cameras or how's that all work?
No. Most of the time they're hunters themselves, so we don't, we basically go in, give them an assessment, take some pictures and get out of there. But, you know, every once in a blue moon, we'll come across a piece of property where either, you know, say a family member owned it, they passed on and left it to whoever, and they don't live around here. And, you know, we, through talking to them and whatnot, we get the chance to go out there and hunt. But very rarely does that happen just because they're hunting themselves.
Right, especially with, like, the amount of hunters in Michigan. I'm sure that doesn't help at all. No. What's your favorite thing about growing up and hunting Michigan, like whether it's the culture or just, like, terrain or whatever it may be?
You know, I guess my biggest thing is probably what you can hunt. I mean, there's all, you can hunt everything here, you know, from small game, rabbit, you know, the pheasant and quail are basically non-existent down here anymore. But when I was a kid, you could go out and shoot a couple. But you got elk upstate in the lower peninsula. Basically you can hunt anything here, bear, elk, you know, whitetail, bobcat. What, basically, if you can think about it, you can hunt it.
What's it take to draw an elk tag in Michigan?
It's a once-in-a-lifetime deal. So once you draw, you're done.
Wow.
So it's, you know, I've known people that have basically applied for their tag, and it's been 20 years now, and they still haven't drawn a tag.
Are you doing the same?
I have been putting in, but I'm not a very lucky person, so.
I don't know. If Illinois had an elk tag, I think, of course, I'd put in. But it just, I don't think, like, a Midwestern elk, it doesn't do anything for me.
Right.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not high on the priority list.
No, it'd be like, I don't know. I guess I don't know a good analogy for it. But to me, elk are Western animals.
Yeah, I'd still do it, though.
I would still do it.
But it's like, how are you going to get them? They don't have the numbers like they do out there. So it's kind of a, I don't know, once you get it, it's one of those, I got to make this happen type of deal.
Yeah, I get that. But like Kentucky has elk that non-residents can hunt.
They've got a pretty healthy herd down there, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
I did see that.
I don't really, like, to me, I'm not going to be putting in for Kentucky elk points right now.
No. Right.
When I can go over the counter in Colorado, like, this summer or this fall. You know,
yeah, that's a tough thing is, you know, trying to put in. Do I go? Do I just buy one over the counter? Do I wait? You know how it is being hunters. You put in for what you can. If you get it, you get it. If not, you go somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. How much is it to put in for an elk
point? I don't know that.
You're just doing it, huh?
Yeah, I don't know that.
Pockets are deep here.
Yeah, right.
All those Michigan land sales.
I'd be going out west.
He said that sugar mama is not a thing, but it sounds to me like it could be.
Yeah, I don't know how much it is. It's just an auto withdrawal, baby.
Just one of those to get the card statement.
Right. Yeah, it's like $1,200. Goo! Ooh!
Whoa,
goo,
man.
Shit. Oh, should have paid attention to that.
Yeah, I've been paying this forever.
Well, yep. So... the good in Michigan, in summary, there's a lot of things to hunt.
Correct.
Okay, is there anything more? What else? Because I just feel normally, and this is why I'm kind of prying at you this way, Chris, I feel people from Michigan normally are stoked to be from Michigan, and you don't really scream that vibe.
but you know, I enjoy. You know, there's a lot of good fishing too. You know, you want to go fishing, you can fish countless inland lakes, or you got the Great Lakes you can go fish on. The whitetail hunting aspect of it is, it just, you don't get excited for it.
Yeah, but I feel other guys do, though, but you know, I feel like you have more flavors of, like, the Kansas and the Iowa.
Yeah, he's been in some big buck spots.
You know, I've been to other states, and it's just, there's so many people here in Michigan, it's just, it's hard. It really is hard to find and kill a mature buck here in Michigan.
So why not, I mean, because I know you're a hunter like we are, it consumes your life, and the outdoors consume your life. Why not move?
My wife opened her own practice, her own office here in Michigan, so we're kind of stuck to this spot. Gotcha. Not where we live, but this area.
Right. She must be a good woman, man.
Right. Oh, yeah, she is. She's the best out there.
She's listening.
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
All right, well then.
She sounds great.
You know, I mean, this spot, it's a nice spot. You know, I wouldn't change it. It's nice down here. You know, there are those pieces of land where you can grow and hold mature bucks every year. I just don't own one of those or don't have access to one of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I just get to dream over them.
What a tease.
You know, that's probably the worst part about my job is, you walk some properties that are no big deal, but you walk that one and you're like, man, I wish I could buy this thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. This is the one.
This is the one. Yeah.
The one that gives you anxiety, like,
oh, that would be rough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be the number one, like, negative thing to being a hunter in Michigan?
Probably all the other hunters is probably the biggest negative.
Really, just pressure.
Yeah, just the pressure. There's so much pressure here.
You guys have a pretty long gun season up there too, don't you?
Oh, my gosh. It's almost a month long.
Ooh.
Almost. It's like 26 days.
How does anything dip by?
I don't know. There's only like a 4-day break in there.
That's brutal.
Yeah, I mean, that's that whole gun thing is, it's out of control, really.
All right, I might be fucking up here about what I'm going to say. And I'm not trying to like make anyone from Michigan mad. And Chris, I don't know. I feel that you'll agree with me. But we podcasted with a handful of people from Michigan. And from an outside perspective, and maybe I'm 100% wrong, and I'll accept that, but maybe I just have a different perspective, so the people that grow up and live and hunt in Michigan don't see my perspective because they're in it. But I feel from interviews we've done and conversations we've had and messages we've answered on social media, people that, and I'm not saying you're into this, but the complaints about Michigan are basically the people's own fault of Michigan. Like, you know, kind of what you said, the gun season is so long. The people that complain about it are the ones shooting up everything and then proceeding to complain about people shooting up everything or the pressure or the amount of people and stuff like that. But and I feel like every time I start to kind of not argue but challenge the conversation, then I get so much fight back so quick.
Oh, absolutely.
That it's not even worth having the conversation because I'm like, well, man, maybe if you guys just changed everything and studied like a more manageable Midwestern state, like, I mean, even Wisconsin, but Iowa is kind of the model I always go back to a little bit. I changed the party hunting deal, I think would be the one thing I'd change about Iowa. Yeah. But I feel like as soon as I start to like do that, then it's like, I get attacked a little bit. Not like it's an argument, but it's like, oh, well, I can tell it's not worth going down that rabbit hole. So I don't really give that conversation any effort.
You know, absolutely. You just like struck a nerve right there to all the listeners, I think.
Yeah.
Because the people that complain about it are definitely, like you said, they're the ones that see this 4-point come out and they're just going to whack it. You know,
because if not, it's going to get shot of anyway.
Right, your neighbor's
gonna
shoot it.
That attitude, if I don't get it, somebody else is going to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I heard something about Iowa changing something to use the straight wall cartridges as well in the future.
Oh, really?
Or are talking about it. Obviously, nothing is set yet, but I did think I did see somewhere that they're looking at allowing like the 450 Bushmaster and the 350 Legend, any straight wall cartridge, you know?
I'd heard that too.
I haven't heard that.
But yeah, I mean, as far as here in Michigan, it's unreal because you have a regular firearm season. Well, actually, I could go way back into, you know, there's a Liberty Hunt, which is early, mid-September, September 12th-ish.
Mm-hmm.
It's for like 2 days. It's the youth hunt and hunters with disabilities hunt. So obviously there's guns for a couple days there.
I got no problem with that one.
Right. And then there is an early antlerless season the following weekend, I believe it is, which you can use gun on.
Okay.
And then you run into archery season October 1st. And then there's another, I think it's called Independence Hunt, which is in the middle of October for a couple days, which you can use a gun for hunters with disabilities. And then you hit the big one. Once you get to our regular gun opener, which is November 15th, that runs to the end of November, you have a four-day break after that. So then December 4th is when our muzzleloader season comes in. And it used to be our regular firearm was like, you know, your muzzleloader or shotgun.
Right, like Illinois kind of is.
Yep, or your archery equipment if you choose to do that. And muzzleloader was just straight muzzleloader. That was it for 10 days or whatever it is. But now for our muzzleloader season, you can use any legal firearm, which would include those straight wall cartridges or your shotgun.
So I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And what you rattled off real quick, unless I missed one, 6 possible firearm seasons in a year.
Yeah. So you got the couple days for the Liberty Hunt, which is a gun. There's one. The early antlerless, which is a gun. And then an Independence Hunt, which is you can use a gun. And then your regular firearm, which is obviously a gun. Muzzleloader season. And so once you hit, and then there's also the late antlerless season, which you can use a gun on. So basically once November 15th comes through, till January 1st, I mean, you got guns in the woods.
Whoa.
That's rough.
Wow.
Yep. But I mean, November 15th to November 30th, 15 days of firearm, 4 day break, and then muzzleloader from December 4th to the 13th.
Okay, let me do something here again. I'm the bad guy on this podcast, yep. But hear me out.
You're the bad cop.
I'm hearing.
I'm the bad cop.
Play the devil's advocate here.
Yeah, because let's mix it up a little bit here. Okay, say Doug comes into Michigan. See what I did? He's the bad guy now, but I'm just
right. Doug did it.
Doug comes in with his mustache, all authoritative and
smoking cigars,
aggressive, smoking Swisher sweets.
Swisher sweets.
Why?
Those are the guys that shoot the big ones.
yeah. Shooting deer in the first 5 minutes on a pressure push.
Just put a cigarette out.
Yeah. Doug comes in. He goes, "All right, Michigan, we're gonna wipe off all your gun seasons off the board, and we're gonna give you the weekend before and after Thanksgiving." We'll do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday before Thanksgiving. After, we'll do a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the weekend after that, gun season, we'll give you muzzleloader only.
For 3 days.
What would Michigan do?
Oh, they would throw a fit. They'd burn the place down.
Okay. But what if I told them, we'll do this for your firearm seasons. For, you know, adult only firearm. Or adult and youth can hunt it. But, excluding youth only seasons, I'm cool with that. There's your firearm seasons. Let's try this program for 6 years.
Or just two and see what quality of bucks
you'd
have.
Or just two, but I'm playing hard here a little bit. 6 years, see the quality of deer and come back and we'll see how you react. I mean, would it be all hell break loose?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because I just described Illinois' gun seasons.
Yeah. No, it would burn down.
See, that's the thing. I don't get it. Like
everybody has different goals, I guess.
I know, but
so like there's counties, you know, we have APRs in a lot of counties, which are antler point restrictions, and you know, some people throw fits about that. But I mean you got counties up north in the Lower Peninsula up north that you would never shoot good bucks on that are now shooting good bucks, you know?
Right.
And I mean it was like bouncing your head off the wall just to get that.
See, and I don't want to portray that it's like it only matters about big bucks, but that's the complaint.
I think the bow hunters would definitely probably want to side with you on that program, and I think hunters would be like, hell no, that's taking away our gun hunting. Right.
But let me break this down, and Chris, I don't know where you can add in on this. What in Illinois, let's go Illinois, we'll just, for the sake of just slimlining the conversation, sorry, Doug, we'll go Illinois only.
That's fine.
What percent, because you have a ton of friends in Illinois and you kind of, you're familiar enough.
Mm-hmm.
You take take 10 hunters out of Illinois. What percentage of them are, for the most part, bow-only hunters out of 10? 10 random hunters. That's a tough call.
Today, I would say 5 or 6.
Five or six out of 10 are probably bow-only.
Maybe 7, yeah.
Okay, that might be the difference. Most of them are like, yeah, we could go without gun seasons for 3 years and just to see what happened to our herd.
Yep.
See what happens to antler, to maturity level. Everything would go up. Now you take 10 Michigan hunters, and I'm not attacking Michigan. This is just for interest of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
10 Michigan hunters, Chris, what percentage of them, of the 10, are bow-only hunters or primarily bow hunters?
So of 10 that I could pick, I would say, you know.
None?
No, I would say probably just the first 10 that come to my head, I would probably say, you know, 6 or 7 of them would be totally fine with just bow hunting.
Right.
And the other ones, you know, are probably kind of like myself. I would much rather have a bow in my hand, but come November 15th, you know, I go out there for 2 days with my muzzleloader and sit, and then I'm back to my bow.
Right.
It just doesn't do it for me.
Right.
But
so maybe, you know, considering that, maybe like a program like that wouldn't be as bad.
Right. You know, the biggest thing, you know, not everybody here in Michigan, you know, obviously everyone's dream is to shoot big bucks, whether they say it is or not. But I know some people just, you can't eat the antlers, you know?
Yeah. Which I respect that too, though.
You get it. And, you know, some people aren't looking to put a deer on the wall. Just looking to put some meat in the freezer, which is fine. It's just tough on the guys that are trying to trophy hunt, you know. Yeah. Obviously, we're putting meat in our freezer, but we also want to, you know, we enjoy the story of the deer on the wall when someone comes over and, you know, you remember all those things, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Or how long ago it was.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
It's just tough.
You definitely have to kill the deer. You have to manage them. Yeah. But...
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe Michigan has way, way, way more deer, which definitely could be the case, than Illinois. And I wouldn't – that's why it's done that way. I understand that. But I'm bringing it up for interest of conversation and just to get people thinking about things a little bit. And most of our Michigan listeners, shout out to you, are probably going, dude, fuck you. You're ignorant. You've never hunted here. And that's fair. And you're probably 100% right. But for – just a conversation, I think it's fun to think about.
Yeah, it'd be cool if they could just take like 4 or 5 counties and do like an antler restriction, or say no bucks for 3 years.
Experimental counties,
yeah, or archery only, archery only in 3 or 4 counties, and see what happens in those counties in 3 or 4 years.
I'm surprised that doesn't happen with like biologists and like DNR just to do in studies, like a 3-year study.
Yeah, I know. You know, the antler point restrictions that are around the state have shown definite, you know, positivity from of that. You know, there's like Mecosta County, for instance, I mean, spent a lot of time up there. There's been some dandy shot up there, and used to be you would never, you know, maybe one every so often, but you go to a buck pole up north now and it's, you know, you see some pretty good deer. But if that could be statewide, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are listening thinking, you know, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, I don't know the laws or why things are made. I just know what it is and that a lot of things could be changed. What would be changed? You know, I don't get paid to do that. But I would definitely have an opinion in it.
Right. Well, it's fun to think about too. You know, it's even Illinois. I think about just for the shit of it. Like, what if Illinois canceled all gun seasons for 3 years and limited to one buck with a bow a year? And for people that just shit on me earlier for saying what I said about Michigan, that would be me killing one less buck that I could kill than normal. Like, if that's what they want to try for a little bit, I'm open-minded to it if it means 200-inch deer, potential for giants.
I think right. you would see it explode Absolutely. Here.
Yeah, I think Illinois would pop off. But, you know, and I also think part of that being is do like Iowa does for non-residents, make it a point system. Every 3 years, you can draw a tag. Yeah. Do I think Illinois can afford that? No, probably not. Would they make more money in the long run? Maybe. I don't know. Right. But, you know, that's thing.
I'm hoping to beat Iowa next year. Fingers crossed.
Do what?
Said I'm hoping to beat it back to Iowa next year.
Yeah, you're putting in points and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might as well then, huh? So, well, if you're in our area, man, you got places to stay, so.
Perfect.
You're in. But it's interesting to think about that stuff. Like, what if all of a sudden Iowa became a over-the-counter non-resident state?
That would be nuts.
Would you hate that, Doug?
Dude, we'd get destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys would.
You know, people would move it, like, just come from everywhere.
That's why Iowa is such a destination right now. It's so hard to get that tag, so everybody's trying to get in.
Yeah, free. Yeah. Well, but I think it would be that way for 5 years, and then it'd be Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
We are an over-the-counter for non-residents and a $2 state for residents.
It'd probably die out 5 years, but.
Dude, you know, I think if Illinois adopted Iowa's plans, nobody would think about Iowa.
That's a good point.
I do think, because compare the two states. As a non-resident, you can draw a buck tag every 3 years if you put in your points, right? And for Iowa.
Yeah. Or four.
Yep.
And it's a $1 state. Illinois is a fucking $2 state for residents and non-resident. Like Chris could draw an Illinois tag every single year if he just wants to pay the $500, whatever.
I was going
to
say, I think the only thing keeping people out is just the cost.
Yeah. And personally, I think it should be higher. If you could draw every year and the hunting's this good.
Right.
It should be higher for sure.
Yeah, I mean, people go to Colorado and pay $700 on a 3% success rate in an over-the-counter unit for elk.
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I don't even know what an out-of-state tag here is here in Michigan, a couple $100.
Yeah, which is fair price. Yeah. Indiana for non-resident, I think it's like $150 roughly. Indiana is an over-the-counter state.
Ohio's the cheap one.
How much is that?
$160 for your hunting license, a buck, and a doe tag.
A doe and a buck.
Isn't it an either sex tag?
I think it's two separate tags. I don't want to say 100% certainty on that, but I just looked into it.
And mine in my truck, but I'm pretty sure it's an either sex tag. It's one or the other.
Non-resident hunting license and a buck. Maybe it's a buck doe combo tag. But $160. That's cheap.
That's really cheap
for non-resident.
That's super cheap.
That's really cheap.
Here I am selling Ohio again.
Damn. It's just Ohio can't get away. There's something magnetic about it.
Sorry, Clint.
Sorry, everybody else. Damian, Landon, Chris.
Yeah, it's
all our Ohio boys.
Yeah, everybody just needs to stay in Ohio and Indiana.
Well, they're the best states in the country, you know?
I know. They need to stop coming here then.
Dude, Chris Brackett's had killer success in Indiana. You know,
it's like a $4 state, isn't it?
As long as you don't tell anybody.
Yeah. As long as you're not filming. Dude.
Jeez.
Cold as ice.
It's cold as ice.
We have a good time over here.
As long as you don't tag the one, you should be able to use your tag on the other one.
Right. Yeah. Just don't get blackmailed by your cameraman. It's tough.
Yeah.
Tough gig, man.
Yeah, but that's why self-filming is where it's at.
Right. Huge hassle, but real convenient when it comes to laws.
Real nice.
And morals. Good God, we're assholes.
Man, this is a dark podcast.
Hey, this is going to stir some shit up. But it's just fun to think about, you know? It's fun to think about, like, what if Illinois had all those seasons like that, you know?
Yeah, I know if Illinois had a $1 limit, I'd be a hell of a lot pickier on my first buck.
Agreed.
I'd be looking for like a 170s.
Agreed.
So yeah. I wish that's the same thing here. I wish we had one buck.
Oh, wait, so residents can shoot $2 in Michigan.
They can. Yep.
What about non-residents?
It's
$1.
It's a restricted tag here.
What does that mean?
So basically, you shoot a spike, and then you can shoot something bigger.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Hold on. Break that down, I guess. I don't
So it's a restricted tag where if a spike walks out and you shoot it, you can shoot it. And then with your other buck tag...
it has to be bigger.
Depending on what county you're in, yeah. You know, certain areas for antler point restrictions and stuff, one either has to have, you know, 3 on one side or 4 on one side.
I like that concept. I like that concept.
Because
It's so, you can shoot whatever the heck you want, basically.
So if you shoot a 130 for your first buck, your second buck has to be bigger?
No, no.
It's just spike.
It's just the points.
You can't shoot a spike for your second one.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I was.
Yeah, you can shoot another 130 if you want.
Gotcha.
As long as it's got, you know, 3 points on one or
I'm
or
hearing
four.
You. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I'm slow to the trot. I hopped off the old Bush Heavy and hopped into the whiskey.
Right.
So,
oh no,
I'm running on dial up.
Oh boy.
But,
I think if they change it to a 1 buck tag though, here, I think you'd see a change just with that.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the odds are just against Michigan. Like, that's just the root of it. It's like the seasons are – it's just nothing wrong with that. Like, you get your deer, do your thing, be happy. But as far as quality antler growth goes, the odds are against that. It's almost like they're just like, how can we not have big bucks? Let's make those laws. I mean, think about it, though.
Like I said earlier, you can – there's certain – like, I got a good friend that's – he's got the right piece of land in the right spot, and you know, he can shoot a freaking booner every year, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he's not out there shooting the 115 inch bucks every year. You know, and I don't, he might not even shoot 2 bucks if depending on, you know, what it is. But it's just gotta be the right piece in the right area. You know, you could own 10 acres, but if it's in the right area with the right neighbors, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, same thing here, but, you know, more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What you're saying is the possibilities are there. Like, it's not.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not all hope is
lost.
There's
all kinds of possibilities. No, there's all kinds of opportunity. It's just you got to get to that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Talking in percentages, like,
yeah,
the odds are against Michigan typically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, it's fun. It's fun to think about like the breakdown and learn about other states and like management and season dates and stuff, because a lot does play into that. And, you know, everybody complains about gun seasons. I think if you're primarily a bow hunter, you're going to bitch just a bitch probably.
Yeah, nobody enjoys seeing the Orange Army coming to attack you. That opening day always sucks,
you know,
for a bow hunter.
For all the public land hunters here, you know, you wouldn't catch me in the woods come gun season there on public land.
That bad?
No way. I mean, not all the places, but, you know, down here closer to Ohio and Indiana, it just seems like they get flooded out. And
does it seem worse with the surge of the whole internet, public land, public private bullshit?
Yeah. You know, everyone's a public land hunter. You know, I got nothing against it. You know, I hunt public land for pheasants and whatnot, you know. Can't say I've ever hunted whitetail on public land other than out of state, you know, someone that looked good.
Yeah.
But here I don't, you know, I wouldn't do it unless I was with my bow and I knew for sure that I put my time in and there was something worth going after.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just curious. You know, I hear like mixed reviews on that, like the whole public land craze on the internet. Guys are like, dude, it hasn't changed for me. It's the same, you know, from now on. It's just people aren't willing to put in the work or do that type of hunting. And then
that's
the
biggest thing.
It's definitely gained a lot of notoriety in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. And I get it. It's cool, man. It's cool to be able to go on a pressured piece and kill deer. And let's be honest, it's more of an ego thing, I think. It's more of like, look what I did, where everybody else was trying to do the same thing.
I think it's a huge accomplishment. I mean, obviously,
absolutely,
you're going up against some guys. There's more pressure. It is a bigger accomplishment, I think, when you kill something on public ground. But
100%.
It's being drove into the ground a little bit, and it's taking credit away from guys like us that like to hunt private. You know, it's making it – they're saying that our job's a little easier than what it really is, but – no,
well,
I think take my hat off to public hunters.
Agreed. I do too. I do think it is a big, big accomplishment, but I think it's also different hunting too. It depends where you're
at. It's way different. You know?
Yeah.
You know, the public it is like you guys said, it is quite the accomplishment to go on public land and shoot a good buck. You know, hell, even a buck for that matter.
Yeah.
But you know, this year basically solidified the whole I hunt public land, so I'm better than you, or you hunt private land, so you're so easy to shoot a buck or whatever it might be. You know, I haven't seen anything worth picking my bow up for.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right?
And you know, that's not to say, you know, I could be out there tomorrow and see one, but just with you could be the on public and the same property thing, I hunt.
Yeah, private's not always a cakewalk.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, you still got to put in your time, and, you know, the whole baiting thing's another subject for probably another day, but...
Can you bait in Michigan?
No, you used to be able to. You can bait in the UP if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's kind of different, is it?
So, right? Yeah, it's a different world up there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that, you know, I get it. You know, some people can't hunt or can't put the time in. You know, you might get one or two weekends, so you throw corn out, you know, whatever. It's, you do whatever you do if it's legal, you know.
I got nothing against baiting as long as it's legal, man. Nothing against
right.
it.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, we got time. We put money and dirt into food plot and making sure everything grows. This year we had some plots that didn't grow. Just the way it was. You know, it's not much different on some public lands, you know. Some public lands, you know, they got crops in. They take them out, but it's basically like hunting a big, giant piece of private land.
Yeah, still ag.
That everyone hunts.
For sure. So. It's interesting, man. I'm, I think generally, I mean, I don't know, in my world, from what I see, I'm getting burned on the whole public-private bashing bullshit, and I feel like I'm seeing a little less of it lately. I mean,
I agree. It seems a little less like it's just whatever now.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
You do what you want.
You either hunt it or you don't hunt it.
Right.
You know, big deal.
That's what always fascinated me about the West, I think, because, you know, you don't run into a lot of Western guys that are like, wish I could buy my own 100 acres.
Yeah, it's pretty much all right. Public out there. A lot
yeah,
of it.
Yeah. It's like not really on their radar because they never had to. It's just, there's where we go.
Yep.
Yeah, we're, you know, here. It's, man, I wish, like you said, if I had 100 acres, yeah, you got it.
Yeah. Wish I could buy my own 40 or my own 100
yeah,
or my
exactly.
own whatever. Yeah, which that's your biz. I'm not trying to hate on your biz, but, you know, that's why you don't see, I mean, whitetail properties and some of those other, like, land broker states are getting out west. I know there's some in Montana and whatnot, but, you don't see it a lot out there because there's so much public ground. It's not really like, well, I want to buy 40 acres in the backcountry in Colorado. Well, the elk are either there or they're not.
Yeah, usually the listings you see those companies out west are giant listings.
Yeah.
You know, a ranch or whatever it might be that someone's selling.
Yeah, I wonder what, and I don't know if you know off the top of your head. You don't sell ground there, so I don't expect you to, but I wonder what, like, an acre there goes to an acre in Illinois.
Per acre cost is a lot lower, like you said, but the spreads just are massive. They're just, you know, 3,000 and 4,000 acre tracks sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prices are a lot different everywhere.
It's crazy, man.
It's crazy.
Crazy to think about. Nuts. Yeah, because you're not going to develop in some of those spots. Like, you know, there's not the value there. But
yeah.
No, some of those spots you drive through and you're like, does anybody even live out here?
Mm-hmm. Which also has its own appeal.
Yeah, true.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. You know, it's definitely when you have hunted elsewhere other than Michigan, you realize the pressure that you deal with here in Michigan from other hunters.
Yeah.
You know, whitetail hunting in Kansas is you see a deer and the deer's kind of like, what is that? What are you?
Mm.
You know, here it's like, they even hear you and they're gone.
Right. When you hunt Michigan, is that public? Is it some private you have access to? Is it an outfitter?
In Michigan?
Yeah. Or, I'm sorry, Kansas.
So I've hunted public out there next to – we have a really good friend who is an outfitter out there. But we also – or I guess not we, but I've also hunted some public land next to some ground that he outfits on. That's worked out really well. So, I mean, both out there, public and private.
Hell yeah.
Which is nice.
Right in the mix, man. Right in the mix. Well, cool, man. I enjoyed this conversation of hypotheticals and kind of poking and prodding at these sensitive areas.
If Michigan had the perfect hunting season, that'll never happen. It'd be cool, though. I don't even know what the perfect hunting seasons are, but it sounds cool.
Right. Well, it
sounds cool to me.
I always enjoy like these what if bullshit type conversations because we're bullshitting, but it's fun to think about, man. What would change? How would people act?
Yeah. And, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people before it, but also you'd get a whole bunch of backlash saying not a chance.
Right. And that's the thing too. You know, I always joke around, like we said earlier, if Illinois just did away with gun season for a couple of years, I mean, it would just, one, it would make a ton of sense. The state would be losing money. Insurance companies would be fucking pissed. And there'd be a lot of people be pissed. It's a tradition. It's a piece of Americana in a way. And so you can't take that away, but
yeah, a lot of people would say you're taking tradition away.
Yeah. And I get that. Yeah, probably would be. And it's fun to think about in different ways as far as antler growth is concerned, but,
absolutely. It'd be crazy. You know, I think, you know, my biggest, I guess it's not biggest thing, 'cause I'm not a huge gun hunter, but I like to go out with my gun. Any legal firearm is just, it just drives me nuts for some reason.
Mm.
Just because, you know, during muzzleloader season, it was whoever had the muzzleloader. You know, not everybody had a muzzleloader or wanted to shoot a muzzleloader.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's, yeah, I'll go. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean.
And that'll never go back either. They're making way too much money.
Yeah. It's hard once you give something to take it away.
Yeah.
Yep. 'Cause
people throw fits and all that, but, yeah, any weapon pretty much,
For the firearm.
Yeah.
Not any weapon. I think it's like, the straight wall cartridge over, I don't know what it was, 35 caliber or something. So, the 450 Bushmaster and 350 Legend, 357 mag, anything like that. No high power, no center fire rifles until you get above the rifle line, and then you can use them in the northern part of the state.
No kidding.
Yep.
Man, oh man,
the rifle line.
It's a few times I can say I'm glad I live in Illinois.
Yeah.
Pretty much only relates to deer hunting when we talk Illinois.
It's the only
good thing
keeping us here.
Yeah. It's honestly, if Illinois didn't have the deer it had and the hunting, and you know, I grew up here. Take all that away. I don't know. I'd probably live in South Dakota.
Iowa.
South Dakota's one of my. I want to take the bird dogs out there and hunt sometime. But
dude, I love South Dakota, man. Good people in South Dakota too. Just the Buckstrom crew. They kind of suck though, to be honest. But they're decent dudes.
They're okay.
They're all right. They'll be at the Nebraska show. I don't know when this podcast airs, but they'll be there with us. So booth neighbors.
All right, 10-4.
Booth bros.
Made it up to Nebraska. All this whole COVID thing's put the damper on everything.
Oh, dude. It's stupid. Sucks. Not too bad for the podcast biz. As far as listening, you know, has been great. But as far as, like, trade shows and real-life interaction and fun, like we like to do, is really taking a shit, huh?
Really taking a pooper.
The last trade show we did was the Iowa Classic 2020.
Which is nuts.
First weekend of March
of
2020.
That's crazy.
And we're getting back into, we didn't get to do other shows we want to do. We're hoping Nebraska happens. We're hoping Iowa happens. We'll be in Ohio. We'll be in Madison, Wisconsin. We're hoping Illinois Classic, Illinois Deer and Beer Fest happens. We got high hopes for it all.
We just hope it works out.
Hopes right now.
Yeah, just hoping it works out.
Just hopes, man. We just want to drink beer with our people, you know?
Let's drink.
Right, absolutely.
Let's do the damn thing.
Well, Chris, thank you so much. So, hey, where can people find you, man? Shout out everything. People want to buy some ground in Michigan.
Check out,
so I didn't help sales.
Yeah.
MichiganWhitetailProperties.com. Also check out the Facebook too, Michigan Whitetail Properties on Facebook. We don't have Instagram or anything else because my father-in-law doesn't do stuff. He's one of those old timers. It's just the internet.
Nice.
just Facebook.
There it is, man. You got to get an Instagram rolling, man. Everything's going to Instagram. That's where it's at.
Yeah. Well, we'd probably get banned from Instagram.
No, TikTok's where you get banned. Come on, man. How old are you?
I don't even have TikTok.
Oh, yeah. You don't want TikTok. All our shit gets deleted on there. We try to keep up with the times. You
can't post anything on there.
Yeah. I had my old video that I like to call Bush Light Muscles. 50,000 views. I'm like, cool. This is rad. Boom. Deleted.
Gone.
What? For what?
Because there's a picture. In the video, I scan over my buck in the back of the truck.
Oh.
And you can see the entry hole. And it's like a clean entry hole, you know? And it got deleted. The Chinese... Damn you.
Yeah, they got it. The Chinese got you.
Dick bags.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the Chinese. I know they used to own TikTok, and they created coronavirus.
So. Someone saw it, and they deleted it. So
can you say that?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Good old China virus.
The old Chinese virus.
China.
Comes from China.
China. Well, thanks, Chris, man. We appreciate it. It was fun, man. Sorry to shit all over your state.
Oh, no, that's all right. It'll be you'll get all kinds of backlash and from it.
Yeah, I bet we know, will.
It is what it is.
It is basically, what it is.
You know, tons of hunters, tons of, I'm going to shoot whatever walks by, and that's if fair. I don't, my neighbor's going to shoot it.
That's fair. I'm just trying to help everybody out. I don't know. I'm just,
yeah.
I know somebody will point some shit out about me, which happens a lot, especially if you read forums.
Right. Oh, so absolutely.
I'm just having fun here. Everybody calm down.
Just, yeah.
Hey, thought we have a good time.
Hey, what's the beer that everyone drinks in Michigan? Besides like Busch Light or whatever. I don't know if you do that up there.
Oh, yeah. You do Busch Light here.
What would be like number two? The number two, like, what's everyone like getting drunk and shooting over backs of deer and hitting their neighbor's house with?
Oh, boy. That would probably be like Jack Daniels or something.
Yeah, my people.
I don't know. We like to go into Ohio and get some Yingling.
Yeah, Yinglings are
pretty good. I don't know if I said that right, but that's what I call it.
That's how we say it.
I don't think it's bad beer.
Yingling, the regular lager, garbage, like 4 out of 10. What do we have here? Yingling Gold or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Gold.
That was good.
That's what I had.
I like pretty that. Good. Yingling Gold's good. When we were in Indiana, they sell it there. We were in like Rockville, Indiana. Eric bought a bunch of Yingling to take it home.
And he likes that, huh?
Yeah, he loves it.
He's a Yingling dude. I don't know.
Yeah, some good stuff.
I will say this. Like, Busch Light's pretty good. We drank Busch Heavy the last two podcasts. Busch Heavy's absolute garbage.
Right. Oh,
I don't think it's that bad.
So is that Miller Lite stuff, if anybody drinks that.
Not a fan.
Nobody drinks that. Good.
Yeah. If you drink Coors Light, Jesus Christ, you need help.
Silver Bullet, man. It's not bad.
Silver shit.
I'll drink a Silver Bullet over Busch Heavy.
I would not.
Yeah. I'll drink...
what about the old Banquet?
I'll drink a Coors Banquet.
Oh, yeah.
Coors Banquet's good.
That's a turd.
That's a turd.
We have a ton of craft beer and breweries here, which is nice if you're into the heavier stuff.
Yeah, it's good to get a change up. So. Chris, before we peace out, I think the people need to know like your top five light beers. Rattle off in order.
Top five light beers?
Or beers. Beers in general.
Beers in general. No specific order, but, you know, Summer Shandy is probably at the top.
Dude, Leinenkugel's is the jam.
Got
dude.
It going on. Everybody loves it.
Have you met anyone who doesn't like Leinenkugel's?
I have not.
That's a good point.
But Blue Eyed Blonde it's a craft beer made locally here, which is a killer from Meckley's Flavor Fruit Farm, if anybody needs any.
Ooh.
Good beer.
Mail me some of that.
You know, and then just you got the Plain Jane. Bud Light, Busch Light, whatever happens, whatever someone brings over, you drink.
That's fair.
So,
yeah. All right, man. Did you ever have Bent River Brewery when you were here in the cities?
Oh, absolutely.
That's some of the best beer I've had, I think, man, no matter where I go. And then maybe it's like because it's local, I like it more or whatever. Right. But yeah, dude, if I'm going, if you canned out Busch Light and I'm going Leinenkugel's for sure. Leinenkugel's original, I've slept on that for a while. I need to bring – that's going to be our beer. And sorry for you, Doug. I don't know if that's your jam or not.
I just drink Summer Shandies.
Summer Shandies are tasty. Mm-hmm. Cherry Bomb Blonde, we have a local beer that's out of Davenport.
Good, yeah.
It's really good. Bent River Brewery is good. Pseudo Sue Toppling Goliath Brewery out of Decorah, Iowa is real good.
Delicious.
The Midwestern beers, man. Well, cool, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
We appreciate you, man. It was fun.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Hope I didn't stir too much shit up.
Well, you're from Michigan, so it's your fault.
It's on you. Yeah. You're representing them.
I'll be moving out soon.
Moving to Iowa.
Stir the pot and I'm a head out.
Soon as this airs, I'll be out.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see about that.
Sorry, your wife's practice, but
right. Yeah, we could sell that.
Practice somewhere. It's just a practice.
Yeah.
We could start up somewhere else.
Yeah, that's right, man.
Come down here and crack some backs.
Yeah, we'll get a podcast sponsorship. Start off that new practice here in Iowa.
There you go.
Perfect. There you go.
So just go and get an adjustment. Do
get free adjustments. I'm down for that.
That'll be awesome. Well, anyway, man, thank you. Sorry, Michigan. We do love you, man. That's why we have a working class Michigan hat. Think about some things. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.
To go like just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. the destination for outdoor entertainment.